Okay, I have a question then. I mean, there's a lot of reverse Robin Hood behavior going here, where we're robbing from the poor to give to the rich, the wireless companies in this case. And the case, however, is a fairly narrow thing about the 6-year extension of a freeze. If Scott can just address right now, if we argue and win the case, what are the outcomes that are good for us? And then if we argue and lose the case, how do we make lemonade out of those lemons?
All right, let me try to take that in order. If we argue and win, if we win, if the court does in fact remand and potentially even vacate, here's what happens. And being a lawyer, you probably understand that the relief portion of what the court would do has a big impact. In administrative law, the court can simply remand for further processing and a better explanation while still allowing the rule to stay in effect, or it can vacate the rule and remand. Now, let me take the latter option second. If they vacate the rule, then the separation freeze goes away. And all these carriers have to redo their separation studies and recalculate their rates, which means many of the rates would change at the interstate jurisdiction. But more importantly, it would allow for a freewheeling inquiry by the states for intrastate rates. The real target here, as has been mentioned earlier, is at the state level. The states have up until now been forced to rely on the FCC accounting rules. Despite all this discussion of forbearance, they still look at rates using separated costs and base their conclusions on comparing prices to what they would be under a traditional approach using separations. So if the rule is vacated, the states would be able to go forward, get new intrastate cost results. That would mean intrastate costs would go down, and therefore rates would go down by a lot, a whole lot, billions.
And does that affect price cap carriers equally to the cost-based
Yes.
carriers?
Yes, if you're talking about at the intrastate jurisdiction, yes. It probably would not affect price cap carriers for interstate rates. But keep in mind that the interstate rates that exist for price cap carriers, it's not basic local. Okay? It's things like switched access charges that interexchange carriers pay, fixed lines that the wireless carriers and the internet service providers get. Those rates likely would not change. If anything, there would be pressure for them to go up, but I doubt that they would. The real impact here is going to be at the state level. The problem we have is that state rates are just hugely out of whack. They're just way too high and have been for years. And if we prevail, especially if there is a vacator, then the states would be able to go forward almost immediately and begin to reduce intrastate rates.
Okay, now
just like,
okay,
just like as a result of the D.C. Circuit decision on Monday, the states are now free to begin instituting intrastate net neutrality regimes.
And we in California already have one, which is good.
Yes.
But the second question is, now what if we lose, and how do we make lemonade out of those lemons?
Well, I actually have been trying to build into the case a win-by-losing strategy. Okay?
All right.
One of the reasons I spent so much time arguing that the states are bound by Part 36, even though there has been forbearance,
which is the rules at play. Yeah.
Right. is that the FCC's only response is, no, they're not. And so the court could deliver us a loss in our main arguments by saying, no, you're just wrong. The states aren't bound by these separations rules. They can do whatever they want. Well, guess what happened? The states are now free to devise their own separations amounts, right? And they can reset rates, just like if we win.
Okay, so for the uninitiated, just so people, you're very familiar with Part 36, Harry may not be, but there's a four-step separations thing or process going on here where you kind of put them into certain buckets, either 80 or 120 categories. That's the first step. Then you have to split it between regulated and unregulated. Then you eventually get to splitting among intrastate and interstate. When you say Part 36, you're talking about that last part, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I did that for Harry's benefit.
Yeah, this case does not directly involve, I mean, it's all kind of underlying it, but it does, our legal challenge does not directly involve the use of what you're talking to here, which is the Uniform System of Account, Part 32. Where you define the buckets and split between regulated and unregulated, which also, by the way, involves Part 64. I know I'm speaking Greek here, but no, you're right. That's the first step, but this case does not involve that first step.
I understand, but I just want everybody to understand that this is kind of the end of the separations process.
Yeah, this is Mark Cooper. Let me say this very simply, and I think Scott explains it as a lawyer, and I think the brief is just wonderful.
It's great.
So if we win and the rule is vacated, all hell breaks loose. That's the only way to describe it, because now states that have not been looking at this are going to be told that they should be looking at it, and I think there's going to be a lot of people at the local level who have local bills that say, you better look. So if it's vacated, all hell breaks loose. If it's remanded, and here I might disagree a little bit with Scott, if it's only remanded, half of hell breaks loose. Because if it's remanded for the FCC to look at the rules and think again, the question is going to be, can they pretend as if the freeze made sense? And the states are going to have an incentive because for 20 years now, the revenue has been scooting to the interstate jurisdiction, flying up there as quick as, I mean, you've never seen anything like it in the 100 years of telephone, but all the costs have been stuck down here at the intrastate level. So even if there's a remand, a lot of people are going to say, wait a minute, the future rules have to reflect the current reality. So if they were to say, okay, let's do reality. 20 years ago, we said reality was 65 or 75, 25. Today, reality is the exact opposite. Well, if they did that, there's a massive recovery of costs in the interstate jurisdiction going forward and a reduction in recovery of costs in the intrastate jurisdiction. The biggest, quote, victim of that need to rethink cost is going to be 5G, because that's where they want to spend CapEx.
Yep.
And they've been mucking around with CapEx for the last 20 years.
I agree with that on 5G. I agree with that on 5G. Even in the instance of a remand without vacator, it's going to put considerable pressure on the financial underpinnings of the way that they're funding 5G.
And that's why your case needs to be argued before the D.C. Court of Appeals, and that is my main pitch.
Absolutely, and I said in my affidavit, we're about to do more harm in the next decade than we did in the past two. I know Bruce, that upsets Bruce, because he and I fought about that. But we're at
I agree with you. We're in the wrong direction completely. Yeah.
This is an extremely important moment to fix this misallocation, because they're about to make a huge commitment on the basis of it, and that's going to just hurt everybody.
Right.